This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Your brothers and sisters in IslamNet from Norway are establishing a masjid, a dawah center. This center, this masjid, this educational institution will act like a beacon of light, calling the Muslims in Norway back to the essence of Islam. So give generously and Allah Azza wa Jal will give you even more.
Because when you... I watched Jordan Peterson, yeah. And you said, can I say it in the way I would normally say it?
Yeah.
And it sounded like quite nice to listen to, you know, yeah. Almost like singing. What kind of feeling does it give you when you go through that, out of interest? Is there a Zen-like feeling?
I'll tell you what it is. The Quran states, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ, that certainly with the remembrance of God do hearts find rest. So if I had to summarize it in one word, it would be tranquility.
Mm.
Like, I think a lot of people want to be happy. Like, if you ask, there's a film called The Pursuit of Happiness. We all know about, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people just want to be happy. But I actually submit to you that I don't think happiness is a good prolonged state to be in.
No, it's unrealistic.
Yeah, and not just that. Like, if you think of it from a dopaminergic perspective, if you have spikes, dopamine spikes, then you're going to have crashes usually.
Yeah.
I mean, Andrew Hoberman, I'm not sure if you should have him on the podcast, in fact.
Yeah.
He's a person who speaks about dopamine and these kinds
of
things.
Well, I've been on antidepressants in the last couple of years. And
which ones were you on?
I was on something called sertraline.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Not good for your sex life.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But
I've heard, yeah.
But
that's why I came off it, right?
I mean, you try. But the point is it made me realize, being a pleasure seeker, being someone who maybe doesn't have a lot of self-control and is indulgent, that lifestyle I was living pre-sertraline was very crazy. Like a lot of, you know, booze and other things and women and just constantly looking for that spike.
Yep.
And it's not a state of mind you can stay in for a consistent period of time. Happiness isn't where you should be aiming for. It's that neutral but content place. And that makes a lot of sense to me.
In fact, I think Peterson has something very interesting on this, where he talks about it from a psychological perspective. And this, so you can look at it from a biological or neurotransmitter perspective, like, you know, dopamine having these spikes is going to be followed by some kind of a crash.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that happens. Hoberman speaks about this quite often. But that's from a dopaminergic perspective or from a neurotransmitter perspective. Then you have the psychological aspect. So this idea of trying to seek euphoric moments, ecstatic moments, is not something either encouraged or... kind of seen as the ultimate purpose from the Islamic perspective. And so one of the great scholars of Islam, his name is Ibn Qayyim, he said that the world is like a shadow. The more you walk towards it, the more it walks away from you. So in other words, if you try and seek pleasure from something in and of itself, then you're likely to not get pleasure from it. So from our perspective, if you have a deep sense of purpose, and for us, the transcendental purpose is not a material purpose, but a deeper sense of spiritual purpose, which is to worship the All High, that everything revolves around that, then you get this state of tranquility. So when I'm reading the Quran, for example, or doing what I call adhkar, which are the remembrance of God, saying things like Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, or Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, or whatever it may be, Subhanallah, glory be to God, praise be to God, I actually feel myself getting relaxed. I calm down. It calms me down. In fact, when I don't do it on a daily basis, if I don't read the Quran or if I don't do these things, I actually feel more frustrated as an individual. I genuinely, this is how I feel. I feel more frustrated as an individual. It's kind of like going to the gym. Like, I'm sure you know a lot about that. You know, it's the kind of feeling that you're going to get, like the endorphins when you've finished your workout. If you remove that from your daily schedule, your weekly schedule, imagine the kind of impact that will have on you.
It's kind of like a spiritual workout in that sense. And kind of the way you're describing it, it's almost like if I was going to relate it to YouTube, for example, is like the goal shouldn't be getting the big views. The goal should be enjoying creating the content and the work that goes into it, I guess.
And that's the thing. Like, for someone like myself, I have to be honest with myself. The question I keep posing to myself is, to what extent are you doing this for fame? To what extent are you doing this for money, which is less so, but to be honest, for me,
we all have an ego.
The dragon is the fame for me, or the dragon is the recognition, the validation. I need that validation. And I would be lying to myself if I said I'm not doing it at all. That would be a lie. Or that I would be saying, for example, I don't care what people think.
When you look at yourself almost in the third person, And it's very hard to do this, obviously, but you know, you've obviously become a massive success and you're interviewing Jordan Peterson and...
And yourself now as well.
Hey, you're doing all right, bro. Yeah. You know, and I'm sure you have your detractors and your real big supporters, and then there's those people in the middle. What is the broad sense of how people think about you, in your opinion?
I think it's positive. I do think so. When we talk about traditionalist Muslim community, I think it's positive. But it's always going to be the minorities that we look at. Mm. Like, for example, if you get 80%, 90% likes and great comments, you might not pay attention to that. You may pay attention to the 10% of negative comments.
Yeah.
And that's a part of the human psyche. It's a neurotic aspect of the human condition.
This last week is when you have a certain opinion of yourself and a wave of people come in and just say, you're this, you're that, you're the other, you're just like, am I? Like,
yeah.
You know, and it's brutal, the ego.
Do you know who doesn't have that? And this might sound completely ridiculous, but psychopaths. I'm not sure if you've ever seen them in interviews. Have you seen? Like, when they say, I don't care what people think, I actually believe them.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
Like what they say.
They only care what they think.
They don't care. Like, these people, and if you're not a psychopath, if you don't have that psychopathy, and I don't think you do or I do, but temperamentally, we do care what people think. Mm. It's a natural thing. We need to find mechanisms to try and moderate that. So for me, my mechanism is, I ask myself one question. What do you actually believe on this matter? What do you actually believe? What's your belief? Mm-hmm. And so the first thing I say to myself is, whatever your belief is, do not compromise on that belief. No matter what, whoever says what. Because one thing worse than criticism is having cognitive dissonance. The idea that you have two contradictory belief systems, or you're acting a certain way and you're saying something else, that internal inconsistency produces in the long term a worse psychological outcome. So my first question I ask myself is, what do I actually believe? If what I actually believe is X, and I'm saying it publicly because I believe that that's the right thing to say, and there's a negative impact, then that's just a byproduct of truth, which is, you're going to have to, and it's quite frankly, it's a byproduct of success.